Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
This is the Armchair Cricket Podcast.
Hello all. Welcome to another episode of Armchair Cricket Podcast, a podcast focusing on Test cricket by armchair critics of the game. I'm your host, Ajit. In today's podcast, I have a special guest, Sarvesh, who's also a co-cricket podcaster. So, Sarvesh, welcome to the Armchair Cricket Podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
So, this is your first guest appearance on this podcast. So, anyway, lovely to have you. And I know you've started a podcast with another friend of my podcast, Rahul. And I've heard one episode of your podcast, very nice. The IPL games analysis you guys do is fantastic. So good luck with that in the coming time.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
So before we, get started into the games, I think we should first have a go at the lovely weather of your city. I hear it's a very balmy 38 or something in Mumbai these days.
Yeah, absolutely. So we get these heat wave warnings now every once in a while. So these last month we got two heat wave warnings, and in that one of the cities in Maharashtra, it touched around 47 degrees. Ooh. And right now in Mumbai and surrounding areas, it's somewhere about 40 degrees, 42 degrees. At the night it obviously goes down, but in the morning it's in the afternoon it's very difficult. 40 degrees. Very hot.
I can imagine. That's a tough point. Also, it's very humid, right? So that must feel like, yeah. I don't know, quite a bit. You can't really sweat a whole lot. But yeah, this is Mumbai. We know it. Luckily or unluckily, where I am, it barely touched 20. And now it started raining again the whole day today. And I have a game tomorrow. So I'm a little worried. Hopefully, the wicket and the pitch around it won't be too wet. Because otherwise, as people who, play amateur cricket, we have to also mop up a little maybe before we begin. I'm not looking forward to that as my warm-up for tomorrow's game. But let's see. If that's what it should be, it should be. We will figure it out. But all right. So that's my first game tomorrow of the season. And I'm a little undercooked. So a little worried. Let's see.
It should be okay. All the best.
Thank you. Now, the thing is, with a leg break bowler, right? You're never fully cooked. You get the yips from time to time. And there are very few cool customers or cool cats like Warren or somebody. But all right. So now coming back to some cricket that we can talk of, I think we can kick it off with women's cricket. So West Indian team is touring the Pakistan team. And basically, there's been a bit of an upset, if I may use this term. It's very unjust on the Pakistan women, of course. So after winning the ODIs 3-0, after winning the first three T20Is, there's an upset today where West Indian team has actually lost a game. And it is interesting that maybe it's something to do with the pitch, because I couldn't catch it live, of course. But they could only muster 84 in their entire 20-over innings, but it might have to be something to do with the failure of one individual, Haley Matthews.
Yeah. If you look at Haley Matthews and her numbers, I think whenever West Indies play, it's always Haley Matthews. She has been running the show for them. So if she fails, I think they are in a spot of bother.
There you go. I mean, I think also they've changed their strategy a little bit, Pakistan, whereas they will not give her some pace on the ball, new ball. So it's Sadia Iqbal who opened. And they made sure they bowled a lot of cutters. And basically, she got out for one. And that then West Indies struggled. I mean, why I'm saying this is, there was a tweet from another friend of the podcast, Kaustubh Gudipati. And yeah. I think he highlighted that in the last, let's say, if you look at T20As, right? I think Haley Matthews has been the player of the match almost in every game West Indies have won over the last 25 games. I mean, that sort of monopolization of performance, very rare to see. But she's done a wonderful job. And, well, it showed up. But it came at a point where the series had already been won, let's just say. And Pakistan won this game pretty easily. And it was a subpar total, and you wouldn't expect them to struggle. But still, some of the struggles that they've actually gone through is a bit surprising, given that they're playing at home. And West Indies themselves are a little undercooked. They're not as good as they once were. Let's say a couple of years ago, they were a real force to be reckoned with. They won a T20 World Cup even. So that's fantastic. But unfortunately, now I think they're on the way back up, and they've run into a slightly undercooked Pakistan who's, well, they're rocked by the retirement of Bisma Maruf. It's I won't use the word rocked. Maybe I'm a bit unkind to her. Any thoughts on Bisma Maruf's career and that she called a time on her 17-year-old career? It's a very long one.
You like to see such cricketers because these are not just cricketers. I think they inspire a lot many generations. So what we see in India with Julan Goswami, with Mithali Raj, I think these players have inspired generations. And today the players who are playing, I think they look after these players, and they look to you know, take inspiration from them. They look to do what these players have done in the past. So I think Bisma Maruf is a similar figure, and I think, you know, she must have inspired a lot many cricketers in Pakistan. And I hope that, you know, she will take some active role in their cricket, and she will look to improve. Just, you know, what we are seeing with Mithali or Julan. So I think I'm hoping that she does that in future.
If you look at her longevity and what she has actually gone through, I mean, she has played 8 T20 World Cups, 4 ODI World Cups, won 2 Asian Game gold medals. I mean, this is fantastic, fantastic achievement. What an ambassador for the sport itself, let alone Pakistan's women cricket. But fantastic, and a very, very creditable record as a batter as well as a top order batter. And for a while also the talismanic player in that team. So, much like Haley Matthews, what we were discussing, if Pakistan won a game, probably you looked up the scorecard and Bisma Maruf would have had a big score in there. So, all kudos to her. We wish her all the best, of course, for the rest of her, you know, let's call it the second innings of her career. So, we are going to see a bit of dip maybe in Pakistan's fortunes. But they have enough experience. Nidadar is still there. And plenty of other Nashra Sandhu is there, Sadia Iqbal. They are all very experienced cricketers. Sidra Amin, they'll stand up. And it's also going to be an important year for them. It's a T20 World Cup year. So we can expect a lot from both these teams, West Indies and Pakistan. And the other T20A series that's currently underway is India's tour of Bangladesh, where India have won the first 3 games, I must say, fairly comfortably. You can see there's a little bit of gap in the way in these two teams play. But I think given that there's a World Cup there, and it's a good time for India, like Australia did previously, right? A good time to have a tour, get used to the conditions and also probably the opposition. So I think this is also a fairly dry time. There's not a lot of rain, hopefully. So they've chosen well, India, to travel. It's all mostly day-night games held at Sylhet. I think that the pitch takes some turn. So you cannot expect huge scoring games. But the first game, India batted first, made 145. That has been so far the highest score. And since then, India have chased twice, won comfortably. I think the second game was a bit of an interesting one because with rain encroaching, I think India went out with a clear target that they wanted to at least score, let's say, 35, 38 runs. But one of the persons returning back into the squad, Dayalan Hemlata, who was not there in the team for a few seasons already now, she really put a point because 5 hours, the par score for India was 28, and India made 47. Thanks to her making 41 of 24. That was probably the barnstorming innings. Any chance you got the highlights or some of these games yourself?
Yeah, I've seen that innings actually. Because if the score is 47 and 41 have been scored by one player, then I think you have to go back and see the footage and see what exactly happened. So that's what I did. And I think, you know, when you see, because when that inning started, I first felt that maybe Shefali Verma, she should be the one who would do all the bashing. And I felt, but when she got out on zero, I felt maybe we might be in trouble. So that's where I felt that somebody now has to do the scoring. And then when she came in, and I think, what the kind of shots that he played.
Correct.
I mean, I was not expecting that to happen from her. I was expecting it from Smriti or Shefali. But
correct,
when you see such players do that, I mean, it's a very good sign, because, you know, you want new players. We want the lesser known commodities to do well. I mean, I'm not saying that she's not a good player. She's a very good player. But you want these new players to step up on such occasions. So kudos to her. Very good job.
Indeed. That's fantastic. And also, you have a lot of names here who are trying to get a foothold in the 15, let's just say, people like Shreyanka Patil. There are a lot of proven performers who want more out of their game. People like Harmanpreet Kaur, who's been quiet for the best part of a couple of months now, right?
Yeah.
Smriti Mandhana is all right. Shefali Verma and Richa Ghosh, the young bloods. Pooja Vastrakar, Renuka Singh, you have Radha Yadav, you have these seasoned pros, Deepthi Sharma, of course, right? So this is a very well-balanced team. And they would want to go from strength to strength from here. So this is the important part. And there is one person who's very special here. You know, Sajeevan Sajana.
Yeah.
You know, she shares something unique with a couple of cricketers whose name I'm going to give you and ask you to guess. Probably you know it, right? From your reaction, I think you know. So one of them is Sajeevan Sajana, the other is Thagna Rayan Chandrapal, and the third one is Nitish Kumar Reddy. So what is the commonality? I think you can guess.
No, I'm not able to guess. Maybe the state.
Okay, let me make it a little easy, because there's one specific answer, there's one generic answer. If I were to reduce that to only Taj Narayan Chandrapal and Sajeevan Sajana, then it's a very unique answer.
No, still no.
Okay, so they both played cricketers on screen in a movie, and now they're actual international cricketers. So Thag Narayan Chandrapal played the role of Larry Gomes in 83, apparently.
Yeah.
And Sajeevan Sajana played a cricketer, an up and coming cricketer in a movie about 5-6 years ago in India.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm actually not aware of the movie. Which movie was that?
I don't know myself. I have to look it up. It's also a movie about cricket, of course.
Yeah.
And the third one is Nitish Kumar Reddy, who played as a kid, he played a child artist role in a Telugu film.
Oh, wow.
So this is the commonality. Some common thing between razzmatazz and cricket. So fantastic. But you see, that was also well chosen when they had an international cricketer actually playing another international cricketer in 83. That's well done them. So nonetheless, she's now an India cricketer and she's played a few games now. And that'll be fantastic for her as well. And well, she's a big hitter. She was called the Pollard of Mumbai team.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
So we would like to see her turn it on as well. So from our perspective, a lot to look forward to if you're an India women's cricket fan. We are waiting for a World Cup, men or women. There's another chance this year for both. And I'm somehow banking more on the women. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Yeah, absolutely. I will completely agree with that. I feel that we are more of a force. I mean, maybe force is not the right word, but I think we have better chances of pulling it off in the Women's World Cup, because the kind of team that we have, I think we are some few levels above most of the teams, barring maybe Australia. I think but again, we have seen that on our day, we can even defeat Australia, a team like Australia.
Correct.
So I think I feel pretty much confident about our chances in women's cricket. In men's cricket, I think anything can happen on that day. I think any of the 5-6 teams can defeat each other. But in women's cricket, I think we are a massive force.
Absolutely. And let's just say, you know, it's basically who can beat Australia. You have to beat Australia at some point in time, semi-finals or the finals,
exactly,
to win the trophy. So it remains to be seen whether India or any other team can do this. So yeah, some exciting times if you are a fan of women's cricket. Moving on from there were a couple of men's series that finished, one that finished, the other that started, let me put it like this. The New Zealand versus Pakistan T20A series, right? For the series to end to all, so I think you aptly called it the 178 series. before we started recording. So would you like to take us through at least the last two games where, again, Pakistan unsurprisingly made a 178?
Yeah. I mean, it was a very strange series, I felt, because you don't, I mean, the series started in a very dramatic manner. I think there was one game, I think, where they bowled only two deliveries, I think. Am I right in that saying?
Correct.
They
the
bowled
first
only
game.
Two deliveries. Yeah, the first game.
Yeah.
And I think we even saw action in that game. But what happened after that, I think, I don't, I mean, so many, if you remember, we played, India played against New Zealand, I think, 3-4 years ago, and there were two super overs in that series, and both were bowled by Team Saudi, and we won both.
Okay.
So I think something happens in that series, in that New Zealand series. Something strange is always in the store for that series. So I don't know, you know, something special with that kind of a weather. I don't know what's happening there, but yeah, I mean, 178 teams, they scored, they kept scoring, and the series was tied at the end. I was talking to Rahul about this, and he said that people are not happy that it is tied because people were expecting something different. And
correct.
I mean, it was a very strange one, very strange series.
Yeah, if you're thinking of Pakistan playing that brand of cricket within Pakistan, I suppose they sort of came up short. 200 is probably these days a par score in any subcontinent condition. And to make 178, you are easily 15 runs below par. But maybe they trust more in their bowling attack to dig them out. If they make anything above 160, they probably feel confident. In the third of these games, look, New Zealand, there are many new names here. Zachary Fowkes, Jacob Duff is at least a well-known quantity. The captain, Michael Bracewell, who made it to the New Zealand squad, right? Ish Sodhi trying to prove a point. I think he did really well. By the way, Ish Sodhi for himself on this tour. So Pakistan again made 178, of course. And this was chased down thanks to a wonderful knock. I think Mark Chapman has a special relationship with Rawalpindi. And he went on to score 87 of 42. Fantastic batting. One of the people I expected to do more was actually Jimmy Neesham, who was very quiet. They had some new people playing New Zealand, right? Tim Robinson, Dean Foxcroft, and then Cole McConchie, Zachary Fowkes. Some of these people you can expect that they are doing their first tour, but people like I expected Tim Cypher to do a bit more. I thought he was in the middle, but Jimmy Neesham, I thought maybe he didn't get enough chances. Do you think?
I think Jimmy Neesham, he has been around for a while now, so I think whenever he plays, we sort of expect him to do the heavy lifting for New Zealand. But some, I mean, his role is constructed in such a manner that he always comes and plays that second fiddle. I would like to say that second fiddle, because you will never see Jimmy Neesham being the aggressor. You will never see Jimmy Neesham driving any sort of a counter attack, but he will always be there. He'll always take wickets. He will always support the batting cast. So he has been that kind of a cricketer. I think this is the kind of role which he likes. I mean, let's not forget that super over in the World Cup final. And
exactly.
It was Jimmy Neesham. So, you know, he's that kind of a player who will keep playing that second fiddle. But at some point, he will step up and people will say, wow, where was this Jimmy Neesham before?
He's always
kind
been
of a
there.
Player. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Fair enough. No, that's the right term. But I think he's sort of used as a finisher, both with the bat and ball. That means he doesn't get too many opportunities. Maybe a couple of balls here and over there. And I think he's content with that role. Somehow, we can overplay at players' talent or players' capability in our own mind simply because of the little we see and what we like there. Ah, this is awesome. What if he's given more chances? Maybe it's not realistic, right? But all right, he has his place. But I don't know if you hear any other cricket podcast. There's one called Butta Fast between Osman Samiuddin and I think the Karachi Khatmal, he calls himself, I forget it, Naqvi, right? Fantastic. They discuss it in a very air quotes desi manner and quite open and no holds barred discussion. And I think they have an episode about this 178, which is very entertaining if you want to listen to it. A recommendation to all cricket fans out there. But They also raise some very, very pertinent questions if you are a Pakistani fan. So people like Iftikhar Ahmed, are they at the end of a long rope? Also, I see a lot of distraction and a lot of opinions being offered by fans, as always, as we can expect in South Asia, of course. But when you look at, there are some players that people expected to make the squad. People like Mohammad Haris, they're asking, why is he not there? But if you just go back to some of the top order players, Mohammad Rizwan, Babar Azam, Are they the Rohit Sharma Kohli combo of Pakistan? Is that a fair justification, fair comparison, or is that unfair? When it comes to T20s, specifically.
I mean, in T20s, I think what has been happening in last few years, it now we feel that these guys are not good enough because of the strike rate. I mean, all the discussion around strike rates and what can happen with the younger players and what they could do. So we are looking into potential that could come in and replace these guys and win matches for their country. So again, in
Right.
India, again, we do the similar thing. So we are talking about the potential of Abhishek Sharma. We are talking about potential of Tilak Verma, all these guys who can come in and who can
Right.
do the job better than the experienced guys. But I think what we cannot forget is that, that and India against Pakistan, that's the best example that we can give. On that given day, everything failed, but just one man stood up, Virat Kohli. And I
Correct.
think that comes in that needs a special caliber, that needs a special talent. And that's what these teams look to do when they go for bigger tournaments. So I think I will never say that, they have done a mistake by picking those experienced players. So even if their numbers are, I mean, we have to look beyond numbers when we talk about World Cups and picking these players. So every
Correct.
time with this discussion happens, I won't fault Pakistan cricketer and the selectors for selecting these guys, because these are big match players. These guys can win you a game when everyone else fails. So I think I will just go with that these guys can do the job on any given day, and maybe that younger brigade may not do that on that given day. So I think that's the difference they are looking at.
Right. Look, it's nice to hear, but I think they do play a slightly older looking format or slightly older feeling format. But there is still a place for Babar Azam like player. And you saw that in the last T20. He proved a point where he scored at 156 and sort of held the innings together. He had some support from Fakhar Zaman. That's the question for me. In trying to accommodate people like Babar Azam right at the top of the order, is somebody like Fakhar Zaman falling to number 4 5 where they probably see him as a finisher these days, or somebody who can keep the middle order going. But he should get the maximum number of balls possible, I think. But they have a Saim Ayub now who can do a similar role. So they can probably do with Fakhar Zaman down the order. And you have Usman Khan who has done enough because he can also keep, right? He's a credible replacement if Mohammad Rizwan were to get injured. What about if the Chacha? Is his time running out, do you think? Because Imad Wasim has made a strong comeback, right?
Yeah. I mean, you have to look at the options. Like we discussed in the Indian cricket, the people have been discussing about Hardik Pandya and if he should be picked. But then if he is not going to that World Cup, then who should we pick? That's the discussion that we should be having. If not Hardik, then who is that player? Is that player
Right.
Shivam Dubey? Probably not, because he's not bowling enough. So similarly, I mean, if you look at the squad, who is going to be that able replacement? I think you rightly mentioned Imad Wasim, and he is that player who can give that who can be very effective on those pitches, by the way. Because if you look at his bowling, if you look at his new ball, what he does with the new ball, that I mean, earlier this season in IPL, we saw a bowler, his name is Manimaran Siddharth. He took new ball, and his bowling range was 90 kilometers to 110 kilometers, and he was actually bowling those in dippers, in swinging deliveries, and
Yes, he's
batters
a
were actually
spinner.
finding it difficult. Yeah, exactly. So I think Imad Wasim is in a very similar category. He does that with the new ball, and it's not very often that you see such bowlers coming up against you. So I think
Right.
that's a good player to have. And I think if it comes down to him and Ifti Chacha, then I think Imad Wasim, should he should we should win that battle, because Imad Wasim, in my opinion, right now is in probably form of his life. Probably it is a debatable topic, but I think he's doing a much better job. I think he adds, and he also, I mean, his batting is not an unknown commodity, I would say. We know what he can do with the bat. So I think he adds a lot more balance to that team.
Right. Iftikhar has some pedigree. He's been the
Yeah.
man of the final in a couple of PSLs and so on. And he has played those key knocks. Somehow he had a quiet series. We expect he can actually fight and bounce back, right? So that's one of the things. And Pakistan is not one of the teams that have actually released a provisional squad for the World Cup yet. Officially, they have not done it. But you saw somebody like Hasan Ali come back. There are a lot of questions raised. Why is Zaman Khan not there? All that. So again, you think this was a guy who was playing county cricket, by the way, in the meantime. He was not a part of the T20 setup. Is this him being given chances because of horses for courses, do you think? Or Is it something else the selectors are thinking? Because look, when you have Haris Rauf also came back, he did not play the T20 series, but probably he was always in their mind. He had some spat with the selectors. I think he lost his contract, but you cannot see Pakistan going to a World Cup without a player like Haris Rauf if he's fit, right? So between these two players, Rauf and Hasan Ali, do you see that the selectors may have placed too much trust in their experience, or is this again par for course for you?
I think if you now let's go back to 2023 World Cup, I felt Hasan Ali, he had, I felt, I mean, I'm not trying to be, I don't want to be sound too harsh, but I felt he had no business going to that World Cup because I felt they had much better options available with them.
Correct.
But he went to that World Cup. He played for a good number of matches there. Mm. I felt he took like 3 to 4 games just to start going, just to get going.
Right.
I felt they missed the point. They probably should have brought somebody who's younger and who could have done the job. Because once Naseem Shah was, once he was out, they needed somebody, you know, who can give those early blows at the start of the innings. So I felt they missed a very good opportunity to use. They have many talented players. I keep watching PSL and I see a bowler bowling at 150 every now and then.
Hmm.
You know, those guys have been doing a very good job. So I felt they missed a point there. And right now, again, you rightly pointed out, Haris Rauf is somebody I think he should get in. Because given the kind of, given the amount of T20 cricket that he plays, I think his position should not be questioned. I mean, yes, we can discuss about his recent form. We can discuss about what happened a couple of months ago, how he was thrown out and then how he is now back in the contention. So I think these things can happen. But I think he should be the one who should be trusted more.
Mm.
I mean, if it comes down to picking one between Haris and any of the other, I think Haris should go to that World Cup because, again, we talk about experience and, I mean, Haris, he has experience of playing in Big Bash League and he has done well against the quality batters. So, I think that is one thing that you cannot forget. Your performance against quality batters. And this is a very hot debate right now in India where players have been picked based on their IPL credentials. I mean,
right.
We can go on about this, but I think one thing that we always miss out is that in the IPL, you see Indian batters playing against the overseas bowlers, quality overseas bowlers. And once you play these guys well, once you know that this certain player, certain batter can handle this overseas bowler well, then I think that's where that player earns that credibility and that's where selectors start to trust that player. So I think we can use a similar logic.
Mm.
If you have done well against the quality batters, then I think you have to be trusted for a big tournament like World Cup.
Fair enough. See, for me, somebody like Wasim Jr. would have been ahead of the queue of somebody like Hasan Ali. With Haris Rauf, you have to go with his pace. And you have to see, for me, he doesn't do enough in crunch games. But maybe that's a thing that he has to build up for himself. But everything else is good, right? He has the pace. He has the capability, the hustle. So also another guy I thought who might make the squad was somebody like Amir Jamal, who's done well for Pakistan abroad. I think the West Indian and USA pitches are expected to stay low and slow. And eventually, you know, some teams are talking of four spinners. We'll probably get to that. So when it comes to those sort of things, your bowling and spinning all-rounders will be very handy. So I think that way, Iftikhar Ahmed or people like Imad Wasim and of course, Shadab, I see him start every game, right? So people like that will actually make more of a difference in the long run if Pakistan plays the business end of the tournament, they'll be more useful. So there, I think maybe Amir Jamal missed out because Amir Jamal can also swing the bat, right?
Yeah.
So can Hasan Ali in theory, but I somehow trust Amir Jamal to have done a bit more. But all right, still Pakistan keep their cards sort of close to their chest. Let's see if some of those things fall in place for them going into the home stretch before the World Cup. Now, another international game that's actually underway and it's sort of a start-stop game because it's the Zimbabwe versus Bangladesh T20I, which Zimbabwe touring Bangladesh. So I think Zimbabwe had a bit of a horror start where they had fallen to 7 for 41. And you thought, okay, this is 50 all out. What is it now? But then the tail, like Clive Madande, the keeper sort of played well with Wellington Masakadza, he's the brother of a more famous Hamilton Masakadza. So they have some batting pedigree down the order there and somehow they got to 124, which is not anything to sniff at if the conditions are a bit tough, right? So if you look at it, now though, Bangladesh are ahead. In spite of all the rain delays, there is no overs lost and Bangladesh now need in the last 10 overs about 58 to win with a good 7 wickets in hand, 8 wickets in hand. I think you expect them to win this, but even otherwise, even if the game is stopped, they'll probably win because of TLS. But if you look at Zimbabwe itself, and over the years, you've probably been following cricket for a while now, and they're very reliant on only one or two players. So people like Sikandar Azhar, Sean Williams, Craig Irvine. There are many journeyman cricketers there. People like Ryan Burl, Luke Jongwei, Mazakadze himself. Muzarabani didn't come up to the promise he showed early on. Same for Richard Angarawa. But where do you see this team going?
I think talent-wise, they are good. I think you mentioned Muzarabani and Angarawa. I think there was somewhere back in 2022, I think after that World Cup, I actually tweeted that I would love to see these two guys with some of the IPL teams. I'm not saying that these guys should start playing IPL for this team, but at least they will get that exposure. Because I felt these guys had that caliber in them, and these guys could be developed into something special. This is what my earlier judgment about these guys was. So I think I still feel that the kind of with the right kind of coaching, I won't say coaching, but with the right kind of exposure, I think these guys can still develop into something. Because I think you can see the talent is clearly there. I mean, they are like still 26, 25, I think. And Garawa is, I think, 26. And Muzarbani is, I think, even he is around 27. Hmm. So I think this should be their peak years. And I think they should develop more. But I think your entire point is that these guys, they always rely on a few players to step up in this crunch situation. I completely agree with that. For some reason, I never see their openers coming to the party. It's always that middle order, which is always bailing them out. Sikandar Azhar. And at the end, it is Ryan Burl. And, you know, those similar names, they always keep stepping up. So I follow Zimbabwe cricket a lot. And I actually hope that these guys will produce another, maybe Alistair Campbell. I mean, it's too much. I mean, I know that it's not a practical thing to expect right now. But, you know, somebody like a Campbell or maybe Andy Flowers might be too much to expect right now. But I think you need some of this. So you need some inspiration, some players like this to come and save your career, save your country's cricket. So I think they need some good players. And I think Sikandar Azhar right now is 37, 38. So he's also coming closer to the twilight of his career.
Right.
You need somebody else to step up as well. So you rightly said they need new players. They need someone else to come to the party.
Well, there are enough sort of, you know, people who played 20 games or 15 games. These people need to step up and sort of become the next stars. When Sri Lanka saw a little bit of this transition issue where there were people who had already played the games but couldn't translate it into match turning, let's call it. Not decisive, but at least match turning innings or bowling spells. But that's, I think it's up to the maturity of the individual and playing the situation above playing anything else. So at that point in time, being a bit more cassette, and it's a very tough thing to achieve, frankly. And it takes that guts. And Zimbabwe have always been propped up by special players, the Flower Brothers. You've took a couple of names. Yeah. One of those players suddenly recently had a very interesting experience out in the wild. Guy Whittle, who actually has a test double 100, nothing to laugh at, serious guy.
Yeah.
But he lives in the bush. He runs a touring company for, you know, sporting activities and safaris and so on in the bush. And, well, he recently has been mauled by a wild cat.
Yeah.
Poor guy. But I don't know if you followed the story.
Yeah, yeah. I did follow. Because he had a similar accident a couple of years ago as well, where I think there was a crocodile under his
bed.
He
didn't have an accident then, I think. It was just a novelty thing where he woke up to discover a crocodile under his bed.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, that was again a close shave, I think. I've never read anything like that, where a crocodile is sleeping under your bed for 7-8 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds very horrible.
It just thought it was warm, I guess. Yeah. Poor thing. Yeah.
Exactly.
But in this case, he was actually attacked by a wild cat.
Yes. Yes.
The leopard that had attacked the dog was so brave that it actually attacked the leopard. Because the leopard had a what you would call an eventually killing grip on his leg.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the dog sort of distracted the leopard enough, and the dog was also very badly injured, apparently. So kudos to the dog. It was called Chikara, the dog. So well done, the dog. And thankfully, he's now resting and recuperating, though not fully out of danger is what we read. And we hope, you know, he comes out on the other side and continues. Well, he likes the bush, clearly. And he continues with what he likes to do, but remains safe, right? No such strange activities going on. Crocodiles,
Yes.
leopards, whatnot. So
Absolutely.
good luck, Mr. Whittle. So leaving these two teams, if we move on, I think we have to now get into the white elephant in the room, as I call it, the IPL. So I think you've been following it very closely, what with the daily episode mostly. So let me start you off with your favorite team who are actually playing today. By the way, we saw something weird. I don't know if you are following the ongoing game. Venkatesh Iyer actually farmed the strike in the last over of a T20.
Yeah.
Because they were nine down. Last two
nine
hours,
down,
he was sort
yeah.
of farming the strike and keeping the strike to himself. He did all right in the 19th over, but 20th over, Bumrah got the better of him. It was weird to see such tactics. But in this game, at least, versus KKR, Mumbai have done pretty well. They've kept them to 169 all out with one ball to go. And Bumrah, once again, he's a purple cap holder. He's very special. He somehow does things which nobody thinks of. And he continues that way. But then, if you were to think of this Mumbai team overall, where do you think they may have gone wrong this season? And do you see their chances of making the knockouts?
No, I don't think they'll qualify. I think before the start of the season, we were discussing about this team and what they can do. But I think everything came down to ifs and buts. If this team can get going and if they start playing well together and if they can trust the new captain, if they buy into their captain's new philosophy.
Right.
Lots of ifs were there. So I think now they have played around 9 to 10 matches, and now we know why those ifs were there in the first place. I mean, it's clearly visible that this is not even a team into transition. This team is not even looking like a team right now. They are looking like individuals playing in one jersey. This is my honest opinion about them right now. I mean, these things can happen. I won't like to blame any one individual there and what happened, but I think this team is not looking like a team right now. They will need a lot more efforts in the when they go to off season and when they start building again, because let's not forget a mega auction is coming next year. So now
Correct.
They'll again have to go back to drawing board. They will have to think about retentions. They will have to think of players that they can buy, players who they need to buy back. So all these things will come in picture. So I think they have a lot of work to do right now. So this new captain, this new philosophy, I don't know if they will continue. I don't know if they will go back to Rohit Sharma. And I
Correct.
Exactly have no idea about what they're going to do. But I think what I know for sure is that they are going to react on what happened this season. There will be some changes made and they will look to bounce back, is I can guarantee you.
Fair enough. Look, they're known to be very ruthless, and you sort of answered my expected question is, do you think they'll continue with this experiment because they've started it, or will they just abandon it and then say, well, Rohit, you'll have to come back because the leadership element is missing from the team and the team is suffering because of that, for example? Because also Rohit Sharma is sort of special in as much that he gives players the belief, sort of helps them open up with their best performance. I think he did that with Pandya himself at the highest level, right? And even for Mumbai Indians. So we are discussing more about Mumbai Indians and where they may have gone wrong. But I think we should also take a look at the other end of the spectrum. I'm not even going to discuss Bangalore with you. I think it's a waste of time at this point in time. But if you look at the top four teams, so Rajasthan Royals continue to be good. Well, they had a reversal yesterday. That can happen. But that was like a last ball reversal, that too, because somebody missed a full toss. It was still 200 was stopped. And KKR now have a chance to, you know, consolidate that second position comfortably. So I dare say these two teams will make the knockouts. There's no doubt there. And they deservedly will do. Let's call it like that. But then of the three teams, I'm going to give the three teams most chance, another team barely a chance. So the three teams are LSG, Hyderabad and Chennai. These are the three teams with most chance. But then Delhi Capitals have a chance. So of these four teams, how do you see the rest of the tournament shaping up? Which other two do you see making it to the knockouts?
I think your game CSK played against Punjab, I think that game has opened things up very nicely, because now
Correct.
CSK are on 10 points from 10 games, and LSG and Sunrisers, they have 12 from 10. So now CSK will hope that one of these two will drop points and they can capitalize, is what CSK would be hoping. And Delhi Capitals would be hoping that CSK and Sunrise, or CSK and one of Sunrise and Lucknow, will start losing game, and then they can come into that top four picture, because they have played one extra game. They have played 11 games for their 10 points. The thing is that I feel it is a bit difficult for Delhi Capitals, The reason for that is they are going to play against Rajasthan Royals in the next game. And Rajasthan Royals, I can tell you that teams who are sitting at the top, they don't like losing back-to-back games, especially
Absolutely.
At the back end of the tournament. So they will do everything. They will do everything in their power to will that to win that game, Rajasthan Royals. So I expect them to come back. So I expect Rajasthan to defeat Delhi Capitals. And unfortunately, that will be that for Delhi Capitals is what I'm expecting. But having
right.
said that, but we still have three teams for two spots, LSG, Sunrisers and Chennai. And the problem with Chennai right now is that Chennai are going to face Punjab again. And in the last
right.
five games that Punjab and CSK have played each other,
yeah.
Punjab have won five games.
Exactly. So, I saw this. I was also surprised. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's again a very difficult task. I'm not saying that they won't be able to do. In fact, I expect Chennai to actually break that jinx and I expect them to defeat Punjab in the next game. Because like I said, you know, no top team likes to lose back-to-back games. So I expect them to square it up with Punjab. But again, following up with that, they still are to play against Gujarat and then against Rajasthan. So again, that is that those two are going to be very tricky games because Gujarat is again, you can expect Gujarat to throw surprises at you every now and then. They are not in contention at the moment, but I expect them to do something out of the box and surprise those top teams. So I expect them to do well against CSK. And then again, that game against Rajasthan Royals. Now, we don't know if Rajasthan Royals will be playing their first 10 team because I expect Rajasthan Royals to seal that top two spot before that. So they might be resting some of the players, but I don't think they will do that because they would like to keep that momentum going. So I again expect Rajasthan Royals to do everything to defeat CSK there. So I think CSK are going to have a difficult time. They will hope that some of their players will step up. And talking about their players, now they have some issues with their players as well. Because
right.
Deepak Chahar has that hamstring injury,
yeah.
which has been troubling him for some time now. And the Bangladeshi players have left. So Mustafizur has left for Bangladesh. So
right.
when he is not going to play, we saw Mathisha Pathirana. He's not fit right now. I don't know what the current status is, but right for the last game, he was not there. And again, if you look at their batting, they have issues all over the batting line. Their opening partnership with Rahane and Gaikwad is not working out. They have some issues there in that middle order as well. They are looking to send Jadeja up. So I think they have some questions to answer, and those questions are popping up at the wrong time for them. This is not the time. I mean, they have played 10 games. This is the business end. And you
right.
don't want to be discussing about the opening combination. That's the very basic thing that CSK, a team like CSK would want to sort out before the start of the season. So they have some questions to answer. I think they are in a spot of bother there with some of the spots that they need to fill, they have to think about. So again, I see that CSK are going to struggle a bit. But again, everything comes down to what LSG and Sunrisers do. Because LSG, again, they are to play against KKR, they are yet to play against Sunrisers, they are yet to play against Delhi Capitals. So these three teams, they are in that top six. So
Correct.
It is never easy when you play your direct top four rivals. So again, this is going to be a factor. And then they will play a Mumbai Indians. They haven't lost to Mumbai Indians any of the league games. So I think they can still bank and they can still say that they can defeat Mumbai Indians. But again, before that, those three games against the top sides, it is going to be critical for them. And now
right.
coming to the Sunrisers, I think probably they have decent fixtures there. They are playing Mumbai Indians at Wankhede. And at Wankhede, you expect Sunrisers would expect their batters to score again 260s to 70, the kind of pitches that they are going to get there. You would hope that it will be a batting paradise and you will hope that Abhishek Sharma, Travis Head, Klaassen, these guys will get going. So that is going to be one game which they will feel that they can win. Then again, they will play against LSG. This is again, that is going to decide a lot of things for these two teams. And then Gujarat and Punjab. So again, these are not easy games, but you expect these teams to manage these games at the back end of the tournament.
Right.
If you do not have any questions, that's my judgment. I think this top four, I see this top four, I mean, I see this exact top four at the end of the 17th league game in the same order.
Haha, interesting. So now coming back to this game. So there are two people here whose star has fallen quite a lot in the last couple of months for one reason or the other. So one is Shreyas Iyer, the other is Ishan Kishan. And of course, they both missed out on the India selection as well. So where do you see their careers going from here?
When we talk about Shreyas Iyer, I feel I feel he, I mean, he was the one, I think, was, in my honest opinion, he was the difference maker in that semi-final against New Zealand.
Exactly.
Because
yeah.
apart, I mean, if you leave that knock aside, I felt both teams were equal, but that knock separated the teams. And I think we cannot forget that, you know, he's that kind of a player who can turn it around on any given day. So he's that kind of a player. Now, there have been talks that he cannot play bouncer, that he cannot do this, he cannot do that. I mean, people will debate over that. But I think despite, I mean, people, if you look at Sourav Ganguly, if you look at Suresh Raina, these guys had good careers. But if you look at their issues with the bouncers, those issues were there for their entire career. People knew Ganguly struggles with the bouncers. They used to trouble him with that chin music. They knew that. But despite that, they managed that managed those weaknesses and they had a very good career. So I feel that Shreyas Iyer has that caliber who can manage his weaknesses well and who can always come out and who can always perform despite those weaknesses. So this is what my reading about Shreyas Iyer is. And now coming to Ishan Kishan, I think Ishan Kishan has some obvious flaws. I mean, I don't think people say that he's not a good player against seam bowling. I don't agree with that because against seamers, against high quality seamers, I have seen him play well. I have seen him play well against Harish Rauf, against Hendrik Nokia. What troubles him is that late movement, that seam movement that we saw in that last game when Sandeep Sharma literally, he was bowling in 120s, but Ishan Kishan had no clue what to do about that delivery. So that's his major weakness. He will have to sort that weakness where he just has no answer against those seeming deliveries. But apart from that, I think he can, I mean, he doesn't have any obvious weaknesses apart from this, but this particular weakness, I think that gets exploited. And when you are playing as an opener, I think you expect these batters to handle the seeming deliveries in a much better manner. That's one thing that he will have to improve. But I think, you know, both these players, to answer your question, I think both these players, I expect these guys to come back at some point in future, maybe for 2025 Champions Trophy, which is going to be played in Pakistan. Let's assume that it happens in Pakistan, or let's say it gets shifted. But I'm hoping that there will be. I mean, I expect that this will be played somewhere in Asia, if not in Pakistan. I mean, we don't know the exact venue, but I think on those pitches, I think Shreyas Iyer is somebody again you will have to look at because he knows how to play spin. He's a very good player. He's because I have seen a lot of games where Shreyas Iyer has played in Syed Mushtaq Ali in domestic matches, and in domestic matches these guys get to play a lot of quality spinners.
Right,
and he has done a very good job. He has been a tremendous player for Mumbai over the years, and he does well against the quality spin bowl, that quality spinners that they face in Syed Mushtaq Ali and those Vijay Hazare trophies. So I think he's somebody that you would want to be in contention for that 2025 Champions Trophy. And again, Ishan Kishan, he's a utility player, and that has worked against him to some extent because we know that he can open, we know that he can bat at number three, number four. We know he can keep, he can field. I mean, he can do everything. You ask him to do anything, I mean, he'll probably do it happily. But that's his that's his role. So I think these two guys, I think I still expect them to be there with the team for next 3-4 years. I expect these guys to sort their issues and whatever happened in the past with their contract situation, I expect that to get resolved. And I expect these guys to be around the Indian team.
Fair enough. So I just think it's more like their work ethic or something has been questioned, right? And rather than just their talent or their hunger, it's just their work ethic that's actually been called into question. And that's what's cost them probably a go. But I think that's again a harsh lesson that purposefully has been made clear that it's like sometimes like what happened with Pandya and Rahul previously, right? Sometimes it's better you learn the lesson here and now and rather than not carry it with you. Probably that's what. So I think their lack of commitment to their domestic teams, it was not really appreciated by the powers that be. And they took a hard stance on this, is what I see. And you're right, they both will probably make the squads again. So we've gone so deep into the India situation or the India squad situation. I think let's have a quick chat on the squad, the professional World Cup squad that India have actually picked. So first of all, I see a couple of interesting names, Shubham Dubey and Pandya both. So for me, Jadeja and Patel making the squad is not a surprise. For me, Kuldeep making the squad, Chahal making the squad, mostly on merit, fantastic to see. But together, Pandya and Dubey, are you happy with Pandya's performances as a player, let alone as a captain?
To be honest, I mean, we know he can bat, he can bowl, and he's somebody who can bowl in 140s. And you normally don't see a lot of players who can bat in that top six and bowl at 140, 145. But Hardik Pandya is somebody who is known to do that. So that's a very plus thing to have with your team. So I think that works for him. And what has happened in the last 2 years that because of the impact player rule, we haven't seen Shivam Dubey bowl. We haven't seen Ramandeep Singh bowl. There are not many players who are doing that three-dimensional job for the teams. I mean, this impact sub. I mean, maybe that is a discussion for some other day. But I think right now we do not have those many options. So I think they have just went with what they have seen in the past and not too much. They have not worried too much about his current form, is how I assess. So they know what he can do. So they have backed him to do that, and they have backed him to do well for India at the World Cup at the big stage. So that's how I see how that's how that's what I feel why they have included Hardik in that team. And now coming to Shivam Dubey, I think it's very simple. The situation is very simple. Let's say that you play Jaiswal and Rohit in top two, then Virat to follow, then Surya Kumar Yadav, and then Hardik Pandya, and then let's say you will have Sanju Samson or Rishabh Pant. So your top six is this, and then there will be Jadeja, there could be Akshar Patel, and then Bumrah. So you'll expect five bowlers or four bowlers and Hardik Pandya, or five bowlers and Hardik Pandya. So in this situation, it could be that on slow pitches, we might see both of them. We might see Shivam Dubey coming in straight away because he's somebody who knows how to bowl those cutters. He's not express, but he will still bowl at in late 120s, and he is known to bowl those cutters and slower ones. So I expect him to bowl on such wickets. But again, now just coming to his batting, I think he adds a lot more to this Indian setup with his batting. So that basically helps him that I think he will start most of the games. So if just leave his bowling aside on any given day or any given slowish pitch, he will have his day with the ball as well. But I think his role is more to do with the bat, and I think that's why he will start. And for him to start, we may see that we may have to take some harsh calls. We may have to open with Rohit and Virat, so that will push Jaiswal out. But I feel that this team will do anything to fit Hardik and Shivam Dubey both in that team.
If you ask me, that's a bit of a luxury, given that sometimes we'll have to see how the pitches will behave, right? So for me, both are clearly a luxury. I would probably play one, not both, at in any 11. And I saw Shivam Dubey sort of as a backup to somebody like Hardik. But then, as you say, his ability against spin is very clear, and that's very exciting. And he's sort of come to the next step, sort of in his delivery. This we saw it with the way he did for Chennai so far. But for me, okay, I would have picked a full batsman ahead of him, frankly. But there are no other fast bowling all rounders, so that's where he gets the chance. And there, I can respect that. In terms of somebody like Sanju Samson coming into the squad ahead of Gill, I'm actually very happy for that. But you can't but help feel a little sorry for Gill, right? I mean, Gill is good, and he's not done too far wrong things as far as his own performance is concerned. What do you say?
Gill and Rinku Singh, I think these two guys,
Correct.
they have done well for us. They have been playing well. We know their abilities. We know what they can do. If Gill can stay there for 10 overs, you know that you're going to get a century from Gill, and that century is going to win the match for his team.
Fair
That's
enough.
his quality.
You can assume that, yeah.
Rinku Singh, again, just before the IPL, India versus Afghanistan, that third T20 match. It was Rinku Singh who was there with Rohit Sharma. We know that Rohit scored a
Correct.
century, but I think that Rinku Singh innings was also very underrated. I mean, he played an excellent knock there. He handled the situation well. I mean, you don't expect a finisher who is normally trusted to play in that 14 to 20 overs phase to show that kind of a temperament in that early stage where when your team is four down and when you're
Correct.
batting in sixth or seventh over. So he has shown that he can do that job as well. So I think he's not just a finisher. I think he can handle batting in all the phases. So I think that's a very harsh exclusion in my opinion, but I think you can only pick 15. I mean, I have my opinions that in my opinion there should not be a squad of 15. In my opinion, there should be a squad of 17 or 18 at least. But again, that's a discussion for some other day. But I think in this team, I think somebody had to miss out. And the moment they decided to go with four spinners, I felt they had to take some harsh calls on
Correct.
Rinku Singh and Jaiswal. That's how I see it.
No, I think though Rinku Singh was the guy who lost out to
Yeah.
Dubey because Dubey can bowl. Left arm, barnstorming sort of a batter. You have a real power pack top order, you have no doubt. And even if one of Rohit Sharma and Kohli come off, India are placed well heading into the 12th over, right? So that's the sort of comfort India fall back on when it comes to those two pros. And I think Rohit Sharma is looking to win a world trophy for India. I think that's the other thing where you could have thought he could completely not at all be looked at. But then that's not how we do things in India, I think. So he's still in the picture. But more importantly, they back him to win a trophy for the country. That's the most important thing. And he almost did it. They fell one match short.
Yeah.
So I think we should have a quick look at the bowlers before we move away. And Arshdeep Singh is selected correctly. Bumrah, for me, the only selection that sort of surprises is Siraj. I did not expect to see him there at all. I expected a bolter. So there's no Shami. He's completely out of the picture. That's a pity. So no chance of picking him. But then Siraj is picked because of his mercurial nature, because I don't think he did anything special over the last 3-4 months.
I think Siraj, I think he struggled in that series against England as well, in that test series. I felt Siraj, he should have done a lot better in that series.
Correct.
But he was clearly struggling there. I mean, I felt it. I still feel that test is his best format. He has done well for India in white ball tournaments as well. But I think
Correct.
Test is his best format where he can win
Correct.
Games for fun. When
Hmm.
you say somebody can win games for fun, that means that player has some special ability. So
Correct.
I think he was looking a bit off in that series. And I think coming to this, this thing, I think RCB are right now 10th or 9th or 10th on the table. So
right.
that entire team is not working out. And I think, you know, when we discuss a similar thing that we discuss in football, where we say that if a team is struggling, if a team is at 15th, 16th or in those relegation spots, you don't really look to judge their players, some of their better players. Because what happens is when entire team underperforms, that star players of that team will also underperform to some extent and their numbers won't look good. But
yeah.
again, you are right. You are very correct when you say that he hasn't done anything special in the last 2 to 3 years. But despite all those issues with RCB's bowling, despite everything, I think we expected Siraj to do a lot better in IPL, especially after that disappointing test series. So yeah,
Correct.
You're right in saying that he needed to do something special in this IPL. That did not happen. But when they said that before this team announcement, I think the news came out that they are not looking too much into the IPL, too much into IPL form, and they are looking to back the individuals based on their merit and based on what they have done before. That's the moment I felt that was a very big hint that Hardik Pandya and Siraj were going to be there on that team. Because these two players, I think, yeah. I mean, to be very honest, these two players, along with, I think, Ravindra Jadeja, maybe.
Jadeja is the other player, indeed. Who, you know, you have pedigree there.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what they have done. They have just backed the talent. They know that these guys can do it for you, even though their form is not great at the moment. Mm. So I think that's what they have done. And I won't fault them again, because going into the World Cup, I expect them to back the big guys. But what surprises me is that Sandeep Sharma is not even there in the reserves.
Exactly. I would have thought he's sort of an ideal bowler.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe his age works against him. He bowls at that slightly tricky pace. You can't take him too lightly, but he's not going to ever get in your limited life. That's one thing. The other thing is, with the swing that he gets with both the old and the new ball, he makes a wonderful sort of a prospect. You're now going to bank on Hardik and Arshdeep to finish the innings. I mean, Jasprit Bumrah, I expect, will play most of the games. But if you were to manage him, right, then you have this issue. See, as I said, Bumrah is a no-brainer. That's the one no-brainer, along with probably somebody like, I dare say, Kohli in that 11. So, but let's see. Let's see how things fall. But India have put a strong foot forward. Going quickly to maybe one other team, let's have a look at Australia, the champion pedigree team. I dare say 13 winners, 13 World Cup winners in a 15. I think, first of all, can you guess the two who have not won a World Cup in this 15? So basically, if you were to think of the players, it's very obvious. So there are a couple of people whose names you wouldn't think of simply because they were in the squad. So they are considered World Cup winners, right?
Yeah.
So the two names I was looking for is Nathan Ellis and Tim David.
Right. Yeah.
But otherwise, fantastic squad. Solid sort of middle overs players in a T20, if you were to think of it. A strong captain. I think they went with the principle of picking a squad and then selecting a captain rather than any other way.
Yeah.
Pat Cummins is in the squad, but you won't expect him to play all the games. Same for Stark. probably Josh Hazlewood would play more games, right? One very surprising exclusion, deserved it or sort of? Steven Smith, not even considered, I think. Same for Miroslav Škarpný.
I think I expected them to do this because had they picked Smith or Manus, I think people would have said that why not pick Fraser McGurk, somebody like him? So
correct.
I think this decision, I think it makes sense from the overall scheme because they have lot of match winners. And just look at that team. Matthew Wade has done well for them in that last World Cup that we know what he can do.
Nagetti sort of so-and-so. He won them
exactly.
That game, right? Yeah.
Exactly. He can open. He can bat at it at number 5, number 6. He can win games from there. Then there's Stoinis, Maxwell, Josh Inglis, Travis said we know what he has been doing even in the IPL, what he's in tremendous form. Cameron
correct.
Green, he had a very good season with Mumbai last season, and I think he's a quality player. They had to back him. Tim David, quality finisher, not many can hit it like him. Then
correct.
Mitchell Marsh, the captain himself, I think when he gets going, he's a match winner. So I think they have a good squad here. I don't think they had any place for these two guys. So that's, and you would expect them to back these players ahead of Smith and Manus. Because of what these guys have done in the leagues over the years, because it would have been pure injustice if any one of these guys had missed out. So I think it's a fair exclusion in my opinion.
See, for me, David Warner was sort of preserved, I think, simply because of his experience.
Yeah.
I thought McGurk could have gotten the squad ahead of him because he was injured and he's not done much over the last couple of weeks. They still persevered. I think this is probably the call of the senior core. Maybe Mitchell Marsh said, give me Warner. I trust him in this role. He's sort of slightly beyond the hill this point in time, Warner. And usually Australia are very cut and dry with this sort of a decision where they say, well, thank you. I think we'll go with somebody who's 22 or whatever. But nonetheless, I think he may have one more World Cup left in him. So do you see this team once again meandering along, but somehow come to the knockouts? I think they will. But do you see them really going ahead and winning the tournament in this case?
Semi-finals, I can see these guys in that top four, in that semi-final. But anything can happen once you reach that semi-final. I would say 80 to 90% chance that these guys will reach semi-final. And there is a close of more than 50% chance that we will see them in that final, is what
right.
how I see.
I mean, Australian team in a final.
Yeah, exactly. If I had to pick any one team who can reach final, I think it's Australia. They can reach that final.
And the thing is, if they make it to final, they rarely let go of the trophy. It's
exactly.
theirs, right?
Exactly.
That's the danger with Australia. All right. West Indies' Devon Thomas is banned for 5 years by ICC. It came out yesterday that he's been caught breaching 7 counts of anti-corruption code, and that means he's not going to be eligible for any high-level cricket for 5 years. And it basically looks like he's tried to fix matches or influence others to try and fix matches. For me, it came out of the blue, sort of, because it happened when in T20 tournaments, in SLCs, so Sri Lanka Premier League and ECL, so the Emirati Cricket League and then CPL. Does it take you by surprise? For me, it came completely out of the left field because of all the players out there, you wouldn't expect somebody like him to do it simply because, well, I mean, he doesn't have a very strong presence in any of the teams he's played.
Yeah.
Maybe,
absolutely.
Or is that the way these guys try it?
I mean, I don't know how the format works there, but I think you rightly said that he's not a prominent figure because in any of the teams that he's playing. So I felt this came like a surprise to me. I was not expecting this something like this to happen, but coming this from a player like Devon Thomas, this was totally unexpected.
Correct.
I felt that this situation is right now managed well, because if you remember a couple of years ago, Shakib Al Hasan was banned because he could not report the approaches made to him.
And he did not do it in time, I think. One of
exactly,
the things. Yes.
Exactly, yeah. So that did not happen. I mean, that was a small error. That was a marginal error that you would feel that it happened from Shakib, and he paid a hefty price for that. I mean, he didn't even do anything wrong. It was just the timeline that went against him. So I felt players have learned their lessons after this. I felt I was not expecting to hear anything after that news. So this was again a surprise to me.
No, I think in this case, he is the one who sort of instigated to try and fix things by talking to players actively and so on. So that I think will be put firmly down. So that's what's happened. But all right, I hope he learns his lesson.
Yeah.
And when he comes back, see what happens in West Indies. Sometimes we hear of a couple of players who've gone nowhere Former internationals, Patrick Patterson, we've heard, has had a very bad time recently and so on. So we really hope it doesn't go that way. And he sort of picks himself up and sort of gets going with his life and doesn't really let this affect him. So we wish him all the best going forward as well. All right. That was a very nice chat. And I would say a stellar first performance, Sarvesh. Thanks for your guest spot on our podcast today.
Thank you so much. It was nice being here. I mean, this is my first time that I'm being on the show with on another podcast. So this was my debut. This was my debut overall, not just on this podcast, but overall debut.
But I dare say you didn't betray any nerves. Much like a Pakistani batter, he scored 100 on debut. Well done. So, all right.
Thank you so much.
And you've told me you heard a couple of podcasts or episodes of my podcast before. I would like to hear your thoughts, not to put you on a spot or anything, just like that. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's very difficult these days to have a quality podcast because right now everyone is basically talking about cricket and now people are getting into the podcast industry and people are now basically recording, you know, all the stuff. But I think it's very difficult to find somebody who talks to the point who knows value of time because people can go on and talk for 1 hour, 2 hour, and there's no limit to that. But somebody who can crunch that into a quality 40, 50 minutes episode, I think that's what matters. I think you guys are doing a good job there. I've heard a few podcasts, and I think I can say that you guys are doing a good job because you know how to structure a podcast and you know how to crunch that into a 40, 60 minute episode. I think that's a very big thing right now. That's what matters.
You're quite generous in your assessment, I would say. Sometimes we lose track of time. It goes over an hour. But yeah, we tried to have some focus. We tried to keep it with some format driven so that we try to cover as much. And also, like, I would like to think we are more global in our approach rather than plainly, you know, focusing on any one country. So, but yeah, let's see how it goes. For now, this is the way it is. Would you like to give a shout out about your own podcast? Let's start there and your other social media work.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have our own podcast, me and Rahul Biran, a Snickometer podcast, where we like to discuss anything that's related to cricket. Right now, we're discussing a lot of stuff going on, mainly about the IPL and other things like the World Cup 11, Sevens Cup Sports. So we are doing it there on our podcast. I also do a lot of number crunching. I also like to play around with numbers because that's my background. I work with numbers as a professional.
You did tell me off air, you're a geek.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, exactly. So I do that a lot. So if you, on Twitter, you can find me on Crick Aspect. My handle is Crick Aspect, CRICCASPECT. That's where you will see a lot of numbers, somebody who is posting numbers every day. So that's just me. So that's what I do. That's what I like doing. So yeah, maybe you can take a look at and see how it goes with the numbers there.
Wonderful, wonderful. All the best with your own podcast as well. I really liked what I heard. And more strength to you guys.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. We wish a good day to all our listeners. And we request your company in the upcoming episodes. Please tell your friends about our podcasts like mine and Sarvesh's. Help us, you know, keep motivated. Thank you once again. Bye-bye.
This is the Armchair Cricket Podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.